Okay. Now, one of the biggest, I think, personally, issues in working with second language learners is that most teachers lack understanding of difference between BICS and KELP. And these are two terms that were coined almost 30 years ago by a man named Jim Cummings, who's a Canadian who has done a lot of work with the Canadian model, which is is a two-way, I think 90-10 model, they call it. And it's a model where children in the French-speaking provinces came to school, and children learning at home French, but also children learning English, and they were taught first in the minority language, which was French, and then little by little were introduced to English, which was the mainstream language. And the reasoning behind that, choosing the minority language for that particular, because the model sustains that the majority language is everywhere. They'll have a lot more support outside to maintain and enrich their English. So they begin teaching them French and then little by little introduce. And the result is, has been very successful model, and the result is bilingual and bicultural children when they leave school. So, and these terms, the BICS means basic interpersonal communication skills. And what that is the kind of talking and the kind of skills that are very context embedded, that occur, you know, face to face, are about, you know, the weather or what are you wearing this morning, that sort of thing. And I think someone this morning was telling me that the children at her center, Sue, that often seem very, you know, doing quite well with English. And I was wondering, as she was telling me, they're probably very, very good with BICS. They're, you know, their interpersonal skills, they're ready to talk and say things, because it is a very contextual use of language. Cognitive academic language proficiency. It's the language of school. And that's a language that we're all very proficient with. But not everybody is. And not everybody at home is proficient, you know, even when English is their first language. That's not, but we do expect children, and we know that children who do best in school are those that are proficient in this academic speech. We know that from, you know, tons and tons of research. So Cummings said that why it is said that learning KALP takes 5 to 7 years is because children are not only learning the conversational skills, they're learning a particular vocabulary, way of talking and writing and reading that is, you know, very, very demanding. And that might not exist in the home, and that makes it a lot more difficult. I mean, we all have read the research that says that children who come from educated homes or who have mothers who are highly educated do better in school. Well, because probably those homes mirror this KALP better than the homes that do not. So we have here two layers. The children need to be proficient, learn to be proficient in their second language, but not only to be able to go to the playground, they need to, and I don't know how many of you have seen a third grade social studies book lately, but the language there, it's quite demanding. I mean, it is really amazing. Or a science textbook. So Cummings did this little, you know, model, looks at the use of language in this grid, and here you have cognitively undemanding communication, like talking on with a friend, but it's context reduced. You can't see the face of your friend, but you're talking about, you know, dating or what happened or, you know, things that are very familiar to you. You're not talking about the photosynthesis process, probably. You might, but, you know, probably not. This over here is the hardest task, reading social studies chapter, solving a math word problem without any visual support, because you have cognitive demanding communication, which is using academic language, and the context is reduced. When you're reading, the book might not have a lot of pictures. You might not have a lot of background knowledge to understand what is going on. So knowing this has very specific implications for working with English language learners, because it means that teachers need to intentionally develop this proficiency in academic language. That is not something that will happen without a specific support. Okay, so what is, like, again, we talk about what are some of the things that teachers need to know in order to teach these students effectively? Language development, the interaction between L1 and L2, and how that's going to play. It's the child. Does the child have a well-developed vocabulary in L1? Is he on the way to acquiring academic content because he's, you know, in his first language, mom reads him or talks to him about in very complex, rich language or not? All those things need to be, because if a child comes from home with, you know, being read or being told a lot of stories and using, and the transition to the English academic language will be higher. Also, of course, again, the importance of this, I cannot repeat enough how important it is to understand the student's culture and use that cultural background not as a deficit, but as a platform for building on and, you know, the knowledge that children bring from home.